Hey, friends. Thanks for listening to the Axiom podcast. We're a community centered around experiencing Jesus together and practicing his ways as a community. We like to say in Peoria as it is in heaven. So this podcast is just space for discussion and exploring ideas and principles of the kingdom, and also where we post our sermons from Sunday gatherings. So please engage us online, and hope you enjoy this episode.
With it, but I do want to remind you of some things that while the world was busy falling apart and going crazy and all sorts of things were happening in our midst and fear and anxiety and all the issues socially, economically, physically, all those things are happening. In the midst of all that, we've continued to believe that we are called to the vision that Jesus gives us. And his vision is of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's his prayer. And so we pray it too. And we believe that it's our responsibility as the church is to inaugurate that kingdom with him, to join him in the kingdom life here and now, and to enter into that space with him as disciples of Jesus. And that, of course, is his mission. We see this in his Great Commission. He calls us to make disciples. And I want to be directly clear. Every person in this room, you were called to be a disciple of Jesus and to disciple others into the way of who Jesus is. And it's my full belief and confession that as we press into the role of disciples as portrayed in the scriptures, we will experience the spiritual transformation and formation that is also bared witness to in scriptures, and will taste and experience the fruit of the Spirit here on earth as it is in heaven. And so we want to continue to hold those two things up, the vision of Jesus, the kingdom of God, and the mission of Jesus to make disciples. That's our calling here at Axiom, okay? That hasn't changed. It's not changing today, and it's not changing in 2021. Now, at the beginning of the year, we started a campaign, Jesus 2020, The Way of the Lamb. And I've already talked about that a little bit, but I wanted to just visit it again momentarily to remind you that Jesus continues to come to us and challenge us in specific ways over and over again. I'm just going to read a handful of his commandments from chapter 5. I won't even get into chapter 6 or 7, okay, of Matthew. But he tells us, let your light shine before men. That's something he commands of us. And if someone has something against you, go and be reconciled to them. Make friends with your accusers. May your yes be your yes and your no be your no. Do not resist one who is evil. Instead, turn the other cheek. Give to the one who begs, and do not refuse one who wishes to borrow. Love your enemies and pray for the ones who persecute you. Be spiritually mature. This is just chapter 5. And here's the deal, as followers of Jesus, disciples of him, just as we said in January, I'm saying again now that we must persist in these things to trust the word of Christ, that he's instructing us here in a way that is possible for us to follow and actually carry out and live into. But we need to trust it, and we need to do it. And so hear me firmly, hear me correctly. Christ has called you to be obedient to him. And I ask you, to step into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Let's do that. Let's continue to do that wherever you are. And if you need help with that, because we all do, that's why we have one another, is to call each other into the accountability that's required to follow Jesus as a witness and body. And we know this because Jesus says, they will know, or love one another as I have loved you, and they will know that you are my disciples, okay? So as disciples, we love one another by holding each other to the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus. And most of us, if we're being honest, struggle to put rules, if you will, and good news together. But here's the truth, that the guidelines of the kingdom, the rules of the kingdom, are designed to help us to flourish and experience life to the fullest. It's when we live outside of that space that we begin to fall and to experience all the things that come with this world. And so I invite you that no matter where you are in your life right now, is to step in confidently with a yes to Jesus' commands and what he gives to you, and experience the solid ground that we've been talking about this morning. So we kicked that off in January. That's where we began. Who remembers that? Okay, good, good. And so you've all perfectly held up to that. Thank you. And then In February and in March, what we experienced at the beginning of this year, and you probably remember this, we grew as a church more than we'd ever grown before. And I'm just going to talk like worldly metrics for a minute, okay? Not just kingdom metrics, okay? We'll talk about that in a second. But we experienced significant growth as a church. We were at our most attended that we'd ever been. We were getting ready to go to two services. We were at over 250 people in average attendance here by February and March. That's a 35% increase. All of our Axiom communities were being tapped on the shoulders to multiply at that time. Every single one of them was being prepared to do that this year as they were all busting at the seams and growing. Our volunteers, for the first time in the history of Axiom, by March, all of our volunteer spaces were filled 100% with extra. It was amazing, okay? In 7 years, we'd never experienced that before, okay? And I remember. And it was so good for us as a staff and leadership to just sit back and go, this is incredible. The body is being the body. They're caring for the needs of the church in totality, in all the spaces. It was wonderful. Our giving had increased 20%. We were going to, on Easter morning, go to two services, and then March 15th happened. And on March 15th, we stopped gathering in our corporate setting, and shortly after, we stopped gathering in our Axiom community settings because of our concerns with COVID-19. That's just the reality of what happened. Now, as a church, and again, I'm just talking worldly metrics, you think about it like a funnel for a second, right? You think about how you know, most people experience Sundays, they come in, and that's the safest place for the experience, then they go into the deeper set of communities, and then from there they go into spaces of discipleship and deep relationship, and we took the top two things and just took them away. And what happened was underneath that, thank God, we had something called cords. We invited our entire church to enter into these groups of 3 to 4 people so that they could continue to gather in responsible settings together and disciple one another, okay? And we had high participation in that, okay? I think we had like 90 folks or so engaged in that right off the bat, okay? Now, that's not all 250 people, but it was 90 of them. We were really confident with that, okay? Now, cords here were designed to go 8 to 12 weeks, and they did. And it was a beautiful time for us. And at the same time, we started a live service. But what happened at the end of that 8 to 12 weeks? Those core groups began to stop. And what also happened at that time is our Axiom community groups stopped connecting with each other online. And we also saw at that same time in our live stream format, our numbers go from very high engagement in the hundreds to in the teens. That's the reality of life apart, okay? And it's not that we just measure the numbers and that means everything. It's just what they are. And I share that with you so that we understand that there's a challenge here. We know that. And so on one hand, we give thanks to God for keeping us and holding us. And again, we're here today. You guys are here today. We started gathering. And I want us to see the progression of what took place. By August, when we finally came back and said, let's start gathering again, and with two services spaced apart, continuing with our live stream, and inviting our ACs, our Axiom community groups struggled to get back together. Some of them still aren't. It's been that hard since August to try and get them to come back together in responsible ways. And that's been a challenge of just being forthcoming. Well, it took a moment to take them apart. Putting them back together has taken much longer. Okay, and there's reasons for that. By August, as we came back together, we went from, again, March 250-plus average attendance to 100 people average attendance between two services, okay? That's our real number. Our giving went down 30 to 40% each week, okay? That's the kind of cut we saw in our giving in that time, okay? Our volunteers, we went from 36 kid volunteers to five. And those five volunteers have had to shepherd our kids in two services, okay? That's the reality. That's real, okay? I say this because we have to be honest as a church about what we face and the challenge we have. Now, again, despite those numbers, despite those metrics, what we are experiencing still is a richness like we've never tasted before. And I want to be clear on that. That what we discovered was that when all that stuff went away, what was left were the people at Axiom that really desired relationship with one another, that really desired to press in. And many of them are still with us live at home, and some of you are here. And those of you that are still here with us, thank you for continuing to persist to be with us and saying yes to Jesus. And my understanding is, as I'm discerning it and experiencing it as I talk to others, is we've asked a number of you, what was your relationship with Jesus like back at the beginning of 2020, and what does it look like today? And for the 100 or so folks that are still with us, either in person or live at home, what we're hearing is that the relationship with Jesus is as strong, if not stronger. And that's good news. Because the truth is, I am not interested in being, this church has never been interested, I'll say it this way, in just being about numerical growth as much as we are interested in the depth and width of your faith and love in Jesus. Okay? That's priority number one. Is that if we're doing what we're supposed to do as a body, is we're encouraging one another into the depth of life with God. And that takes time. We have actually eternity to work that out together. And it's in that space that we begin to plant seeds, and we nurture those seeds. We pour water on those seeds in the community and one another and our neighbors, that we begin to see the kind of transformation that ultimately will look like growth, if you will, in that way. But we also just know that many have been unable to join us, and some will return. And others have left for good. We know that. But we hold it together as a body. So this year, as we go into 2021, we have really felt strongly about persisting in formation, mission, and celebration here at Axiom. Those are the four predominant things that we press into. And when we say formation, we mean a deep relationship with Jesus. And the word that we want to use here is what we're inviting each person into and restructuring everything around, from our kids area to our services on Sunday to our Axiom community groups to our Love Peoria stuff, is around this idea of experiencing Jesus. That is the language, when we get down to it at the most tangible form, that when we talk about formation, we're talking about creating space for you to experience Jesus tangibly, not just learn about Jesus, not observe him from afar, but to experience him intimately. And this, of course, is what Jesus invites you into already. This is what the communion table is for. This is also what he prays for with the Father, that they might know you as one as I know you as one, that eternal life is intimacy with God. That's what Jesus actually says in John 17, verse 3. And so what we want to be crystal clear on this year, you're going to hear a lot of this, we want you to experience Jesus, hands down. And I'm not talking about some like floaty experience. I'm talking about the tangible kingdom of God, experiencing life with him in all your senses and in your heart and body. Okay? I believe this will look like, at minimum, greater awareness of God's presence in your life. It will look like, at minimum, a greater sense of holy conviction and discernment for how you are to live your life with those you live it with. I believe it will look like, at minimum, your joy increasing and the fruits of the Spirit increasing. I believe that it will look like, at minimum, that you will find rest for your souls. Real rest will be available to you as you experience Jesus. Our leaders in all areas, whether it be in the prayer team, Axiom community team leaders, or in staff, kids, wherever, are aiming at helping each person in this body experience Jesus, okay? And we have practices for that. Jesus models what this looks like and teaches us how to practice the way of Jesus together, which is the space where we learn to not just experience him, but become him. Like Paul says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That's what I desire to see each of you confessing in 2021, okay? Secondly, we feel called not just to experience Jesus, but to continue in loving Peoria. That our love for Peoria remains, that we are to be the church before any other institution in the world is to be a place that is just, when you look at the church, you go, that community loves this city and neighborhood, period. We desire to press into that as a church, and we believe that the Holy Spirit's going to help us do that. Okay, and so we've begun by inviting you guys to walk with us every month in prayer through this neighborhood for a number of reasons. One is it's good to pray together. Two is we want to be the visible church in this neighborhood. Three is because we experience Jesus in doing this together. He changes the way we see and the way we hear when we do this, okay? That's actually what's taking place physiologically in you. Your awareness increases. Your heart changes as well as you enter into the neighborhood. You begin to develop and cultivate an active love for the community in this neighborhood, okay? And so we're inviting you into the practice of this. But also another thing happens. The community witnesses and sees this rhythm of people regularly engaging and entering into the neighborhood, and you create a familiarity, you create a walkability, and you open up the doors to the community to step outside. And that's part of the work that needs to happen in Old Town Peoria. Okay? Another thing that's going to happen in that space is we're going to break some of the cultural divides and socioeconomic divides that are in this neighborhood, okay? But there's an avenue in this neighborhood on one side to the other, you can see the tangible difference. And there are family feuds between these two sides and old standing issues between these sides. And we get to cross it in prayer. Okay? Does this make sense? We're going to love Peoria. Not just by praying, though. Okay? That's just an example. That's one way. We also, in January, start construction, by the way, on our playground. That's happening because our neighborhood needs to see a place where they can gather and play. And not just the kids, but also the adults too. And so we've created an adult seating area and hangout space for them as well. That's going to be beginning here in January, okay? And so we're excited about that. Be excited about that. We're also going to continue to support the businesses in this neighborhood. As new businesses start, we're coming alongside them and asking, how can we help? How can we serve? What are your needs? As old businesses have been struggling this year, we've come alongside them and provided resources for them to encourage them, say, hey, we're here for you, because we recognize that the community is not just the people in the neighborhood, but it's the businesses in the neighborhoods, it's the school in the neighborhood, it's the church in the neighborhood. It's the people too, okay? We love Peoria, so we're going to keep loving Peoria, okay? This also is going to look like eating, not just having them to eat at our tables, but us eat at their tables. My prayer for 2020 is that you would find yourself in the living room of somebody in this neighborhood you've never met before, and they would be serving you food. Because I believe that's what loving relationship ultimately is going to look like. It's rhythms of prayer, rhythms of rest, rhythms of play, all those spaces we want to practice together in this community and neighborhood. Today you're going to experience some of that. Guess what? We're eating at someone else's table right after this service. We did not ask Ruby's food truck to come today. They asked if they could come and serve you because they love you. Because they've experienced your love for them. How cool is that? It's pretty awesome. And then, thirdly, not just loving Peoria and experiencing Jesus, but we believe that we need to be together. We need to be together. This isn't just a good idea. This is something we have to labor to do. And I acknowledge that it's hard to be together in this moment right now. We have to do it a bit different at times. But our real goal is to shepherd us out of a space of being afraid of being together and into a space of actually being together. And again, that doesn't mean there's not different settings and things taking place. It doesn't mean that there's not social distancing necessarily or things like that. Those things might be part of it. But at the end of the day, whatever it is, we're going to be together because we're the church of Jesus. And we know well now that we can't do this apart. This will look like increased accountability from you to others and from others to you. It looks like being committed to being present each weekend and in the weeks in each other's homes. It means not letting the rituals of our world be our rituals. We need to find ways to commit to one another. One thing we want to do this year as part of this is we're gonna be asking you guys to host dinner parties. Okay? These will be parties in your home for 10 to 12 people. Okay? And you get to teach a lesson and share a meal. Okay? And we've been having a lot of fun thinking through what some of this might look like. One of the things I'm hoping to do is have a handful of you over to my home to introduce you to the Book of Common Prayer and to have a meal together. And I want to just teach you how to use it and gift you one of these books. And I think it's going to be great. And so these little sacred parties, if you will, these dinner parties, we will hope to just see start happening in each other's homes in responsible settings, okay? So these are just some of the things. So we want to experience Jesus, love Peoria, be together. And there are practices and rhythms for us to press into of prayer, of rest, and of play this year that we really believe are going to help us do these things together. Okay, now this is going to be challenging. I know that. Okay, I get it. It's going to be hard. But now I have all of you to hold me accountable because you just heard me say it. I really believe we will have the opportunity to present the radical message of Jesus to a culture that caters to the nominally committed. And I really believe that we can help one another deal with the fact that most of our issues and challenges that we're facing are not necessarily issues as much as it is the symptoms of us living out of our fear or our own wants and desires. And as the church, we're responsible for moving people out of that consumer space and catering to that into the cruciform space, the place of the cross. We need to do this as the people of Jesus. Discipleship is the way. Pick up our cross, follow him. Okay? All right. Ross, can you come join me? I wanted to take a minute as we close here to just have a second to talk a little bit about eldership here at Axiom. And Ross was an elder for a few years here at Axiom, and then he stepped down, which is normal, by the way. You have seasons on and seasons off. And as that time came up, we reapproached Ross. Ross was reapproaching us saying, would you like want to step into eldership again? And he was like, I thought you would never ask. And so Ross is back serving as an elder here at Axiom, and you need to know that because that's good news. So I wanted to just kind of engage real practically to be helpful. What does being an elder mean here at Axiom? And let's just talk about that a little bit together. I'll let you kind of start, and I'll pick up the pieces. How's that sound?
sure, thanks. And I've been an elder at another church before, and I guess I had kind of, I felt like I was done with that because previously my experience was eldership was about protection and about, I don't know, it was just very negative, at least in my experience. It didn't fit right with my personality, and it was easy to become judgmental. It was all about protecting doctrine and this sort of defense of the church, kind of. And what I love about being an elder at Axiom is that it's more about the two things you just said, right? The kingdom of God and following Jesus and loving him. And those have always been since I met you, Gavin, since we talked before Axiom was even a reality, it's been about the kingdom of God and about following Jesus. And so I am excited as an elder about supporting and being a part of those values. Yeah. about loving and shepherding people, and it's been especially powerful through this time as we, just like what you described, as we see the enemy attacking and peeling our people away and causing huge questions to come forth in people's hearts, to be able to come and maybe take them by the hand and help them get back to following Jesus.
Yeah, I love that. And our elders, each of our elders participate in leading and serving this body in a variety of ways, okay? Overseeing certain areas of ministry, but it's relationally, okay? That's the key, is that we're not just asking elders to stand and govern what other people do. We're asking our elders to be in relationship with you guys and to be present with you guys, whether it's back in our kids' area or on the worship team and sound booth or in our action community groups. That's what our elders are doing, and we're stewarding the vision and mission, what Ross just pointed to, together. And one of the things we get asked a lot about is the qualifications of an elder, like the checklist, you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Can you talk about that for a minute?
I think that there are lists where in Scripture that talk about qualifications of being an elder, and most of that really is just about surrendering your life to Jesus. There's a lot of interpretations of some of those things and a lot of fine-tooth combing that gets through. But really, when we look for people to be elders, the first thing we're looking for is one, a heart to follow Jesus. And the second thing is you're shepherding. You're caring for others in the body. It's not about accomplishment. It's not about being able to say, I've checked all these things off, because there's a certain humility that comes with, I think, with a choice to lead. Just like as a pastor or a staff member, there's no perfect lives, right? We're all a work in progress. And I think the thing that I've learned the most is just over my half a century on the planet is how much I need Jesus more today than I ever did before. And so for me, the qualifications are somebody who's open, transparent, willing to reveal failure. And to follow Jesus toward all that he provides in the kingdom. So we really look for people who are open to the Spirit of God and who have a heart for people.
Yeah, that's good. And with that, you know, we recognize that you could get real descriptive or prescriptive, if you will, with some of those lists. But the truth is, we think that those lists are descriptive of a person that loves Jesus radically in the midst of a body. And Ross, if I haven't told you, you're one of those people who just radically loves Jesus in the midst of the body. And so our hope and desire this year as elders, and there are others in the room, if you're in the room right now as an elder, would you just stand up so people could see? Because I can't see anybody by the way right now. Cindy and Dennis are back here. They're both elders. The camera guy's not an elder. He's just standing because he's the camera guy.
No offense, Tom.
And one of our elders is home today. And so here's the deal. We love you. We're available for you guys. We want to walk this out with you, okay? All right.
All right. Yeah. Is that it?
That's it, man. We're over time, by the way.
Hey, that's
so
right.
So if you could dismiss us.
So in closing, again, just take some time with those three values that Gavin shared that we are focusing on for 2021. When I first heard these, it resonated with me so strongly. And we are committed, just like you said, in our Exim community groups, in whatever we do, these will be not just statements, but an active part of what we are becoming. And so we're excited about that. And so I have a few announcements as we close. The first is that Gavin mentioned 7 years, right? That's an incredibly blessed time to be an entity together. And with that 7 years comes what is a very biblical practice of sabbatical, of rest, of a need to refresh. And if you've ever been a part of something, whether it's your own small business or a church leadership team or something, there are times when it's 24/7. And this year has been, I don't know, 48/14, right?
It's like last year was 7 years.
Double
and
time.
Then there was the 6 years before that.
Yeah, so. Well, that's true, exactly. So, but it has been an incredibly challenging year, and one where, as Gavin said, rest, right? We want to implement the rhythm of rest, and it's very important for us to do that. And it's going to start with you, right? This the month of January, Gavin is going to take sabbatical. And we are so blessed to be able to provide that to him and to his family and to our body. And Mike is going to take one later in the year, probably around March, I think. And so we're just going to give our folks some time to refresh, to refill, to rejuvenate, and we want to be praying for them during this time. Everything is great. There's nothing wrong. It's a good thing to be able to just like a Sabbath, right? To rest and to trust God to do the blessing because it's His church anyway. Yeah. So we're excited about that. And with that, then we're going to kick off a series that Eric is going to lead in 1 John through the month of January. We're very excited about going through 1 John. And so join us for that starting next Sunday. You mentioned the prayer walk, George, right? And the prayer team is gonna lead the prayer walk, but inviting all of us to come and meet here at 8 a.m. this coming Saturday to walk through our neighborhood here and to pray for the people, for the businesses, for the schools, for the organizations, and just to pray for God's kingdom to come to this neighborhood. And then lastly, like you said, Ruby's is out there. Yeah. There's burritos ready. Waiting, so take some time, enjoy fellowship, enjoy some good food, and let's just celebrate as we bring this year to a close. Finally, like I mentioned, George is back there. We have a prayer corner. If you need prayer, if you want something specifically prayed for, if you want to rejoice with someone, or if you have a need, join us back there. There'll be folks to meet and pray with you. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, what a year. We are grateful that you have shepherded us through this, Lord, that you have brought Psalm 23 as a reality in our lives, that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for you are with us. You've guided us, you've provided for us, you've protected us, God, and you've led us through this time, and we are excited to continue to follow you in the days ahead. And we pray for an understanding of who you want us to become and what you want us to be doing as we just get to know you more and as we learn how to love the people around us more. May you be lifted up in all things. Amen.